Hebrews chapter 13, and let's go ahead and read from verse 1 to verse 16. Hebrews 13, Ibraniyin 13, and beginning with verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them who suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their manner of life, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with foods, which have not profited them that have been occupied with them. We have an altar of which they have no right to eat, who serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I'd like to consider with you the statement that is found in verse 5, and in particular at the end of the verse. Reading again verse 5, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Let's just stop there. Isn't everyone like that? No. Mr. Rockefeller, with all your billions, what is it that you want? And of course, the classic answer, 1 million more. 1 million more. And again, sometimes we say to ourselves, oh, those kinds of people, somehow, when they have much of the material goods of this world, somehow they're not content. If it were me, if someone gave me all of that in the way of possessions, in the way of funds, I would surely be content. That's what they said before they had those riches. It's easy to say, if. What did the people say in the time of the Lord Jesus? The Pharisees, they decorated the tombs of the prophets, and the prophets had been killed by their fathers. And what did the Pharisees say? They said, if we had lived in the times of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. In the blood of the prophets. So the Lord Jesus said, no, it's not true. It's not true. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. One of the well-known statements that the Bible has made, you'll find people saying it and not really knowing sometimes that it comes from the Bible. The love of money is what? Is a root of all evil. A root of all evil. You'll find people saying in English, money makes the world go round. Really? Well, I don't think they mean it literally, but how much is motivated that is done in this world? How much is motivated by the idea that I want to gain and I want to gain and I want to gain? And of course, you have proverbs in Arabic. The proverb that's coming to mind: "Andak irsh, abtiswa irsh." You have a penny, you are worth a penny. You are worth a penny. Somehow, I think that Arabic has more than its share of those kinds of proverbs, more than the other languages or cultures. But that's just an impression. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. Be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. This was not something that was easy for people in those early days, and in particular for the Hebrews. Go back with me to chapter 10 and verse 34. The Bible says, "For ye had compassion on me," Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, "you had compassion upon me in my bonds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods." You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. بلتو بفرح سلب أموالكم سلب ممتلكاتكم, knowing that, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And now, don't cast away that confidence. That was the right attitude to have. That was the right mindset. عافيكم على هالفكر يلي تميزتوا فيه سابقا. ما تطرحوا عنكم هذه الثقة وما تطرحوا عنكم هالإيمان. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, but rather have patience. You have need of patience. Going back to chapter 13 and verse 5, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with the things that you have. Because if you are covetous, and because if you are not content, the Lord will judge you and smite you. Now, that's not what the text says. At the same time, I believe that covetousness is a sin. I think the Bible is very clear about that. And one way or the other, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. الخطية لما الإنسان بيوقع فيها هناك عواقب هناك نتائج وما يزرعه الإنسان فإياه يحصد أيضا. What a man sows, that also shall he reap. There are people who say concerning certain sins that God doesn't have to in some sense be involved actively, that naturally these sins give fruit to all sorts of evil consequences. Just like what? Just like an apple tree brings forth apples and a cherry tree brings forth cherries and so on. So while it is true that sin has consequences and that God will chastise his children and will judge those who do not know him, at the same time, that is not the approach taken here by the writer. That is not exactly what our text says. Don't allow yourselves to be taken with covetousness, to be filled with a desire and a focus on material things. Don't let yourself be filled with a lack of contentment regarding your situation in this world, with relation to material possessions. Why? Because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's go back to the Old Testament, where we see this statement being made at least three times. Look with me at the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we see this statement made twice. And if you look carefully, You'll see that it is made once to the people, directed, addressed to the people, and it is also addressed to Joshua. الكلام موجه إلى الشعب مرة وإلى يشوع مرة أخرى. Look with me at Deuteronomy 31 and verse 1. Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. And what is one of the things that he said? Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 now. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is who does go with you, and he will not fail you nor forsake you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Let's read on. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with the people unto the land, which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is who does go before you, he will be with you, he will not fail you, neither forsake you, fear not, neither be dismayed. So what we see in Deuteronomy 31 is that this same statement, which of course is found in Hebrews 13:5, this same statement once is given to the people, second time given to Joshua. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Yeshua واحد والعدد خمسي. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Your manner of life should be without covetousness. Because God has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because God has said it. He said it in Deuteronomy 31, not once but twice. He said it in Joshua chapter 1. He has spoken. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. By every word. بكل كلمة تخرج من فم الرب. Our lives should be grounded upon God's word. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. كل من سمع كلامي هذا وعمل به وشبهه بإنسان عاقل بنى بيته على الصخر. على الصخر. The foundation is so very important. And God's word is the foundation. God has said. As you say those words, don't you think of that first temptation in which the devil said to Eve, Hath God truly said? And the answer should have said, should have been, Yes, he has. And you'd better believe it. yes, he has. And God's word is true. God's word is true. What did Jeremiah say? Interesting statement. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did what? And I did eat them. وجد كلامك فأكلته. Now, I'm not advising anyone to eat paper, or in those days to eat parchment, or later on papyrus. That's not what we are talking about. Thy words were found, Jeremiah 15:16, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Don't be filled with covetousness. Don't allow yourself to be discontent. Because God has said, because God has spoken. And what has he said? He has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. never leave you nor forsake you. Can we say, poor human beings that we are, can we say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? God can say it in a very special way. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. The Bible tells us of something sad. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas قد تركني إذا حب هذا العالم الحاضر. He has left me and he has gone to Thessalonica. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. Matthew 26 and beginning with verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all of you will be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with you, yet I will not deny you. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now, same chapter, Matthew 26 and verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. All the disciples forsook him and fled. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know how people are given to making statements, sometimes statements that are beyond them, beyond what they can actually do, beyond what they can actually deliver. Another example, go with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 40, تكوين والإصحاح 40, and verses, first of all, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head. The words are from Joseph to the butler of Pharaoh. Perhaps we could also refer to him as the cupbearer. الكلام من يوسف بالسجن لساقي فرعون. لساقي فرعون. After 3 days, or within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, and he will restore you to the place, to your place, and you shall deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Now, chapter 40, and the last verse, that is verse 25, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Think of Jonathan and David. Think of the friendship that existed between them. And think of the fact that circumstances, difficulties, trials of various kinds meant that they had to part ways, that they had to go in different directions. 1 Samuel and chapter 20, and the last two verses, verse 41 and verse 42. And as soon as the lad was gone, this is 1 Samuel 20 and verse 41, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David controlled himself. Jonathan said unto David, go in peace, For as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Special friends. And they parted as friends with special promises to each other. But still, they parted. We can say, oh, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. They are big words. They are big words. And we need to be careful not to underestimate them. The Lord says, and the Lord can say, does say, and can keep his word in this respect and every other respect. The Lord says, I'll never leave you. The Lord says, I will never forsake you. Not on account of, let's say, a person being rich and then losing his wealth and becoming poor. Not on account of some matter that relates to a temporary situation, one form or the other. A look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Timotheus Athenius, ha, Arbawa al-Adad 16. At my first defense, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Difficult circumstance that Paul was in. Taken prisoner, first defense, no man stood with me. People can turn away from one with whom they have been close for all sorts of reasons. We think of the prodigal son, and most people think that while his wealth was in his hands, most people think that he was popular to some extent. Luke chapter 15, and beginning with verse 14, Lu'a chamstash arbatash, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, to feed the pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Now notice this statement, and no man gave unto him. No man gave unto him. At that point, he wasn't popular. At that point, there weren't so many friends. At that point, there weren't so many associates. God says that he will not leave, that he will not forsake. Look at Isaiah 46. One thing that people think of sometimes is as they grow old, as they advance in years, what will happen as they need special care. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, that is from their birth, who are carried from the womb. I, even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I remember reading this. A little plaque. I saw this some time ago, and the statement has remained with me. That's interesting. I say with me. The plaque said something like this. They said they would be behind me. قالوا لي إنه بيكونوا وراي. I turned around and looked, and I saw that they were way behind me. برمت والتفتت ولقيتهم وراي. وراي ببعيد بكتير. They said they would be behind me. It turned out that they were way behind me. Men sometimes say things of this nature. Things of this nature. Like I said, big words. Big words. The Lord give us grace so that we can say things like this and say them in truth. But with God, things are on an entirely different level. He's the one who can really make statements of this form. Notice that we don't have here a statement that says, I will never leave you or nor forsake you if this or that. If this or that. Think of Peter and the disciples, specifically Peter with regard to what happened as the Lord Jesus was being tried. Mark chapter 14, let's read from verse 66. مرقس 14 وابتداء من عدد 66. As Peter was beneath in the palace, there came one of the maids of the high priest. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. He went out into the porch. He moved away from the fire. This is a troublesome spot. Let me move away. Should have moved far away. He went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. He denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean. Your speech agrees thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. When he thought thereon, he wept. An expression is coming to mind. It's an expression in Arabic. الرب شو بده بهيك بضاعة. What does God want with such بضاعة? What does God want with such faulty merchandise? What does God want with such people? And remember how Peter placed himself to some extent above others, even if others are offended. I will not be offended. But the truth is that we are not talking about Peter. The truth is that we are talking about ourselves. Because how many times has the cock crowed for me? How many times have there been opportunities for me to walk in the Lord's will, for me to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be faithful to Him, and instead I'm somewhere else warming myself on the world's fire. And the thing is, it's remarkable that the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. To who? To Peter and to us, given the lack of constancy, the lack of faithfulness, the lack of loyalty, and the lack of devotion on our parts. What did the Lord say to Peter before all of this? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. He might sift you as wheat. الشيطان طلبكم ليغربلكم مثل الحنطة. But I have prayed for you, أنا صليت من أجلك أنت, for you in the singular, so that your faith will not fail. And when you're turned around, you should strengthen your brethren. أنا صليت من أجلك لكي لا يفنى إيمانك. لكي لا يفنى إيمانك وأنت عليك إنه تقوي إخوتك. All of you will be offended by me. And yet when I rise, I will go before you into Galilee. What can we say about God's grace? Maybe if it were me, I would have said, you're all going to be offended at me. Good riddance. When I rise from the dead, I don't want to see you again. لما أقوم من الأموات ما بدي أشوفكم وطاعت معكم. خلص كون خلص منكم. وما بعيدة. No. All of you will be offended at me. But when I rise again, I will go before you into Galilee. Think of what the Bible says concerning Ephraim in the Old Testament, the book of Hosea. If you've been somewhere up in the mountains, someplace like Nabasafa, other places as well, one thing that happens when you wake up early in the mountains is that things smell good. It is the smell of the greenery, and it's the smell of not just the greenery, but it's the smell of the dew. ريحة الخضار لكن أيضا مجتمعة بشوب الندى. بالندى. Smell. A very nice smell. That smell doesn't stay for a long time. That particular smell. Why? Sun comes out, the dew evaporates, right? And within a few hours, it's gone. It is gone. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goes away. As the early dew, it goes away. Where is our faithfulness? We're not on this level where we say, oh yeah, I'm glad that the Lord is recognizing that I'm so faithful to him, and that's why he's being faithful to me. I'm scratching his back, and he's scratching mine. Not because of any merit that we have. After the Lord brought the people out of the wilderness, the Bible tells us of what? The Bible tells us of their desire to go back to Egypt. The Bible tells us that at one point they wanted to appoint a captain to take them back. The Bible tells us that they were desirous of what? Of the various foods. Items that they ate there, الأكل يلي أكلوا هنيكي. Especially this is mentioned in Numbers chapter 11, العدد وأصحاح 11. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt freely. أكلنا سمك بمصر مجانا. Egypt was this grand and great and large-scale charity where they were giving out food to people free of charge. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt and cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic, and now all we have is this manna. كل شيء عنا إياه هلأ هو هذا المن. It is God speaking to us in his grace, in his undeserved goodness, in his undeserved goodness. My little children, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. أكتب لكم هذه الأشياء لكي لا تخطئوا. وإن أخطأ أحد لنا شفيع عند الآب يسوع المسيح البار. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. God's promises are true. God's grace is real. As far as we are concerned, we are bound to him by a covenant which cannot be broken, because the one who keeps that covenant for us as our representative is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his merit which secures God's favor. الاستحقاقات يلي هي بتعطي الضمانة هي استحقاقات المسيح. هي استحقاقات المسيح. And remember the statement that is made. It's made in our hymns, and it's of course a biblical statement. God's grace is greater than our sin. Where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound. حيث كثرت الخطية هناك زادت أيضا. كلمة أيضا بعتقد هون جاي بمعنى أكثر. حيث نمت الخطية أو كثرت الخطية هناك ازدادت أكثر النعمة. النعمة. So I can do whatever I want. No, this is not what the Bible teaches. When my wife tells me that she will love me no matter what, oh, wonderful, that means that I can do anything and everything that I like. Then I don't know what love is, and I don't know what truth is, and I don't know what many other things are. The love of God given to us freely draws us unto him, and he is holy and righteous. And this love teaches us the mercy of God. Titus chapter 2 teaches us to live holy and righteously and godly in this present age and time. Someone might say, people have told us, you've probably heard this, oh, you can't tell people that God loves them unconditionally. You can't tell them that God loves them freely. Then they'll go ahead and live like the devil. It's not true. This is the natural perspective on God's wisdom, but God's wisdom is above the thinking of man. The thoughts of God are not the thoughts of men, and his ways are above our ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth. The Lord has said that I will be with you. The Lord has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the original, in the Greek, the statement is very emphatic, very strong. الكلام قوي جدا باللغة الأصلية. It could be rendered, I will never, ever, ever leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. There are some three or four words that indicate negation. في شي ثلاث أربع كلمات فيها النفي. لما بيكفي كلمة واحدة. لكن تعدد الكلمات للتشديد ولإعطاء الثقة. لإعطاء الثقة. Do we pass through times of difficulty? Yes, we do. Do we pass through trials and hardship? Yes, we do. What is natural in such situations? What is natural in such situations is for a person somehow to be discouraged. بوقت الصعوبة بوقت التحديات الإنسان معرض طبيعيا هيدي ردة الفعل إنه يفشل إنه يفشل. The hymn writer says, why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I know he watches me. These Hebrews were facing difficulty. They were facing persecution. They were facing what? They were facing what others faced. Remember the blind man, John chapter 9, الإنسان العامة, يوحنا أصحاح 9. There was an agreement, and it had a powerful influence on people and on their behavior. If any man confesses that he is the Christ, what is going to happen? He will be cast out of the synagogue. The synagogue being in some ways the center of what? Of society at that time. It means that you will be rejected by society. Turned out. And this is what they were facing. This is what they were facing. What does the Bible say in Psalm 42, repeated twice, and in Psalm 43, mentions, therefore, overall, it's not common for someone to find a statement and find it again and find it again in this particular way in the Bible. Psalm 42 and verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Chapter 43, or Psalm 43, and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Why? Because I don't get the message from the first time. because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Think of the promise of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The path of the just is like a shining light, like a shining light. In Arabic, kanurun mushriq, like a light which is dawning. The path of the just, Proverbs 4 and verse 18, sabil al-bar mithla nurun mushriq, it is like a shining or like a dawning light, which does what? Which shines more and more unto a perfect day, which shines more and more unto a perfect day. Sun is about to come up, and then guess what happens? It changes its mind, and you end up with another 6-7 hours of darkness. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. الشمس ما بتغير فكرة وما بتشرق. لما بلش تشرق راح تشرق. راح تشرق. And when God says that the path of the just is like a dawning light, he's saying that it's not going to what? Get dark again. The path of the just is like a light which does what? Which grows more and more until there is a perfect day. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Happy is the people who have such a case. طوبى لمن لهم هيك وضع مزمور 144 والعدد 15 وطوبى لشعب الرب هو إلهه. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Whose God is the Lord. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. The love of God directed to us. Remember the statement of the Queen of Sheba, also repeated in substantially the same way by Hiram, King of Tyre, regarding Solomon. Because the Lord loved his people, he has made you, Solomon, he has made you to be king over them. But remember that Christ is greater than Solomon. And because the Lord loved his people, he has made his son, Jesus, to be king over them. And of the increase of this government, what does it say in Isaiah 9? Of the increase of this government, there is no end. There is no end. I will never leave you nor forsake you. nor forsake you. A constancy that is not to be found in this world. Remember how James speaks of the Lord. He says he is the Father of lights, the Father of the heavenly lights, the creator of the natural world, including the stars of the night. But then he says what? The stars do what? They vary. They change in their position. Of course, this is a function of, you know, we move, but in appearance, one time here, another time here, and they have their own movement as well. To some extent, that plays a role. But he says, all good things come from above, come from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Neither shadow of turning. There are some stars that vary in their brightness, up and down. They shine brightly, and then they shine less so, and more and less, and more and less. It's an unusual thing, but it's a category of stars that's found and known, has been known for some time. No variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just a few verses after that, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to do it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. الذي ابتدى فيكم عملا صالحا سوف يكمله إلى يوم يسوع المسيح. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. الرب سيكمل الأشياء يلي بتخصني. The Bible says that he gave apostles and he gave pastors and teachers. Why? Why? For the perfecting of the saints. من أجل تكميل القديسين. خلاص خلف وكب الطريق ومش مهتم. No, no, no. He did not give birth and throw his children in the street. But he stays with them to perfect them. For the perfecting of the saints. Look at the very end of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Actually, just before the end, verses 23 and 24. The very God of peace, Thessaloniki Ula 5:23, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. All right? God wants to perfect you. All right? God wants to perfect you. Oh, I say to myself, oh, God wants to perfect me. I know that his power is great. But you know, speaking for myself, it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time. But guess what the Lord says? He says, yes, it's going to take a long time, but I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. My plan for you is a long-term plan. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What could we do without the Lord if he left us for even the shortest of times? But remember, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If the Lord were to forsake his children, then why did he forsake Christ upon the cross? Why did he forsake Christ upon the cross? If he's going to forsake me, he could have kept the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wouldn't have to die upon the cross. You don't pay for the same crime twice. This is a principle that is found in justice. بعدالة الناس الشخص ما بيدفع على نفس الجريمة ما بيدفع عليها مرتين ما بيدفع عليها مرتين. And so when our sins were paid for by the Lord Jesus upon the cross, and when part of that payment, part of that atonement, part of that substitutionary work was that he was forsaken, now, he didn't go through that so that we would then be forsaken. He went through that so that we would never be forsaken. So that we would never be alone. The fullness of this promise. Don't be covetous. Be content. Don't be worried about situations. As I mentioned, chapter 10 earlier, they had an attitude that was commendable, an attitude which he praised. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. You knew that there's something better. We may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. To be without fear regarding material things. To be without fear regarding the harm that can come to us from others. The Old Testament says, the young lions lack. They suffer hunger. They who fear the Lord, seek the Lord, shall not want any good thing. الأشبال احتاجت وجعت. لكن طالبوا الرب لن يعوزهم شيء من الخير. Experience. Psalm 37 and verse 5. الخبرة شو بتقول؟ كنت فتى وقد شخت. ولم أرى صديق تخلي عنه ولا نسلا له يلتمس خبزا. I was young and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his seed begging bread. Through trials, yes. But the Lord will be with us. How many did we cast into the furnace? Three, O King. How come I see four walking around in the furnace, unbound, غير مقيدين, having no hurt, غير مأذيين, not harmed by the trial, not harmed by the fire, and the form of the fourth is like unto a son of the gods, وشكل الرابع هو مثل شكل ابن الآلهة, ابن الآلهة. When you pass through the waters, Isaiah 43 and verse 2, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Turn with me in closing. My thoughts are drawn to this person of whom we know little, of whom we know little in the way of details. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. And he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Took him. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Oh, that we would be able to say the same to our Lord and Savior, that we will never leave him, that we will never forsake him, that we will walk with him faithfully in this world until the time comes when we go to be with him forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort, the encouragement, the strength which we can and should draw from such precious words. We thank you, Lord, because you are our helper, because there is no reason to be covetous in the way that we see around us commonly in this world. There is no reason to be fearful of men, because we have a great helper, and we may say with confidence that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Draw us, Lord, closer to your heart, to your will, to your way. Help us to walk with you and to never leave you nor forsake you. Faithful is he who has called you, who will also do it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his glory. Amen.